You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
This is the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. I'm Fess of the aforementioned Webcast Beacon Network. Along with me is Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello there.
Returning after a bit of a break is, no pun intended, is Kelly Turnbull of thepunchlineismachismo.com. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I think I was saying hello too early. I kind of like...
You're not, Mark. Like, you're not, Mark.
Started reading something.
No. I mentioned last week on the newscast that you had gotten into a vehicle accident, and which is why you weren't there. And so best wishes were given by all, of course.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I actually felt really bad because, I wasn't really banged up. Like, I was hurt just enough that it's like, oh, I'm hurt. But I wasn't, I ended up being in the hospital for, 2 days just waiting for them to get my boyfriend all patched up. I was like, oh, no, there's no internet access. They're going to be, wondering where I am. And felt worse that, I was just kind of AWOL than I did that, I was actually going to crash.
Right. I mean, sometimes you can think, hey, this person's a dick. They're not showing up. They're an asshole sort of thing. But I try to think about worst case scenarios. Like, well, what if they died? Because then you can just call the dead person an asshole. And then you'll feel all bad. So what I do is, if I haven't heard from somebody for, months, I assume they died. Because that's the only excuse that's good enough for why they haven't been talking to me.
I guess they could have, run out of money, got their internet cut off or something.
Well, I suppose. I mean, there's multiple good reasons. But if you go with the worst case scenario, then when you hear from them, oh, you're alive. I thought you died. How are you doing? And it's all you're more excited than ultimately pissed off on them. So basically, if I don't hear from you and I've been talking to you, I think you're dead now.
It was great because I guess one of my buddies at work, because I wasn't there on Monday, and I sent the boss an email saying hey, I'm in the hospital, I don't know if I'll be out or not. And I guess at work he was like, this is gonna sound really morbid, but ever since Kelly got that bike, I just keep getting worried if she shows up late that she was in a car crash or something. And one of our other friends is like, didn't you hear?
Oh, I bet he feels bad.
As he should. All right.
He's just worried.
All right, we'll have to probably get Christopher from spacetrawler.com on a different time. Something probably came up or he forgot. I did forget to get his Skype name from him, which is part of the problem. And there's so many Christopher Baldwins that are on Skype that it's I'm not even going to try.
Maybe he's on the West Coast too, and he's 9 in the morning. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, well, I swear I said EST. But. Because after this, I got to record the newscast. Because Eric and Jason are out. I'm not sure if Tom's there. I think Alex and Dean might be. No, Dean's gone. No, they got their own thing going on over at the Webcomic Beacon newscast. And it's been going pretty good. So hopefully people have been listening to that because they should be a part of the exact same feed. So if you're listening to this on a feed, you're probably hearing the newscast on a feed as well. We got some, hopefully I'm designing some new, a new website for the Webcast Beacon Network, which will fold in Webcomic Z. If you haven't been hearing about that, you can follow the hashtag WCBNZ on Twitter whenever I post an update about it. Trying to combine the properties, expand and improve them both. Webcomic Z will turn into strictly the webcomics directory. All of the articles will be folded into the Webcomic Beacon newscast proper, and from then on, the Webcomic Beacon newscast will be a combination of podcast programming and articles. I think it'll just be working better that way, and I got some really Great ideas. I would appreciate the feedback from anybody. I got to do some more designing tonight. Michael Sisk of the Webcomic and Inkblot WordPress plugin and theme for webcomics is going to be working on that. And he did the current website for free. So I'll be paying him for this new venture. And I'm going to be looking into doing some advertisement deal in which hopefully I'll be able to send some kickbacks to some of the people that are on their network for, hey, if somebody the goal is to try to make enough to maybe at least partially cover some a convention or like if we have a reviewer buy some ebooks or something like that or whatever for them to review, etc., etc. I got to see what the income is going to look like before I can figure out how I can divvy things up, because I want to make sure I don't make any commitments before it actually can pay for itself, because I'm still paying for all of this myself here. So, but I want to look out for everybody that's doing such a great job on the Webcast Beacon Network. We got a lot of fantastic content from everybody, and it's just, I would have never expected to have so many people working together to basically cover and promote creativity and the creative process. So I thank everybody who's a part of the network here. And with that, since we have no topic today, and I just keep on going on and on and on, I don't know if we got anybody in the chat room, which we don't.
Well, I can go to Tumblr and try to call out for folks.
Yeah. But I'm gonna go to Twitter and I'm gonna send a tweet. So one thing I've been doing lately, I've got ponies. I've wanted to get a Cheerilee for a while now, and I ended up finding a Cheerilee in a set with Apple Bloom, Skidaloo, and Sweetie Belle. And I didn't really want those three, but I wanted Cheerilee the most. But they don't really have Cheerilee anymore that I could find. And also I found a Trixie and Lyra, which is, like, awesome. So I'm collecting, not like the main ponies so much, but... All right, what just happened?
Your what?
What just happened there?
Probably a plane. I'm sorry. It's like... The Buddy Holly Airport, I think, is like... Or not Buddy Holly, Bob Hope Airport, Buddy Holly. That would be the saddest, like, tribute. Oh, God. Yeah, the right. Bob Hope Airport is, like, in Burbank or something.
No. Buddy Holly Memorial Airport.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So inappropriate.
I was just trying to talk about my ponies here. No, I was thinking maybe we could, before I got distracted by ponies, we could maybe talk about Googling our own names and seeing what pops up. And then Googling some of other web cartoonists' names and see what pops up.
Well, let's see. If I went to Google to look at me, what would I see? Who wants to go first?
I kind of stopped Googling my own name a while ago because I have enough notoriety that it's bad for my health. I don't know. I just sometimes you don't need to see all the stuff people talk about.
Nope, we do. I think we do. I'll go ahead and go first so Kelly can sort through what she's going to be finding. To be honest, I don't think many people talk about me. Actually, at the look up myself in two different forms, both as Festworks as a spaced word and Festworks as a single word. And as a spaced word, all I really get is my Festworks.com, Ardraw, my YouTube channel, Webcast Beacon. Oh, I get my... I'm a part of a local artist collective called Black Hat Collective. That pops up. No more YouTube... And then I get, like, other things that, like, that their acronym is FES, which isn't me, because I wasn't to Toronto. if I look up regular Festworks and one... Oh, I get my comic. Oh, I get my drunk duck. Oh, images for Festworks. Interesting. That's kind of cool. I never seen... I pretty much never Google my name. Hey, the Wikipedia user entry. I remember blistered thumbs. How did that pop up? Oh, right. I made a comment on a blistered thumbs video about this 8-bit watch, It's from ThinkGeek. It was like this 8-bit looking like watch. It was like $70, and the guy that was doing the review, it was like he was saying like how awesome it is. I'm like looking at it the way that he's describing it. It was. Oh shit. He was describing it like it's so awesome, and it's like no, it's not. And the thing is, the freaking watch was not water resistant because of its design or whatever. And it's like no, a $70 watch, goddamn, better be. Yeah, 8-Bit Mickey was doing the review. Let me see if I can find it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just kind of went off a tear. That's on page 2. My Forum Springs on page 2. My Steam ID is on page 2. TwitPic. I'm not really finding anything where people are just, like, bad-mouthing me. Which is kind of what I expect to see. Oh, my God, an old YouTube video. I look so young. 2007, April 1st. Wow.
Oh, you did an image search, did you?
No, this is just regular YouTube search, a regular Google mm-hmm. search. What are you finding, Mark?
Well, the white pages say that there are 6 Mark Savories in the U.S., and 3 of them are me. LinkedIn has a dude named Mark Savory who's an assistant director of biology laboratories at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York.
Hmm.
And then, let's see. That's me on Twitter. Okay. Mark Savory of the Toronto Truth Seekers, some 9/11 outfit. He looks like a hippie. He has some YouTube stuff. What's this one? There's somebody else here named me. Somebody in South Africa named me. There's a few pictures of me, and they're mostly all about my comic. Hmm.
I found an organization that is FES, the Friedrich Ebert Stiftung. contributes to social democracy. All right, interesting. Nobody's bad mouthing you, Mark?
Not me.
Not you.
Let's see. What else do I have? This is some. What's this? There's some blog entry about Eliza and Mark Savory. So, and they're in South. They're the South Africa people. They're doing better than me.
Oh my God!
Somebody's on Formspring, but it isn't me. Here's a dude on Facebook named Mark Savory, but it isn't me. Looks like they're in Australia, maybe. I don't know. I hate Facebook, so I'll just close that. Let's see. So, this is interesting. according to this one site, this White Pages thing, mm-hmm. Mark is the 17th most popular name in the U.S. Apparently, what else do we have here? Oh, it tells me the etymology of my name. Mark, from the Latin name Marcus, born by the evangelist, author of the second gospel in the New Testament, and by several other early and medieval saints. In Arthurian legend, King Mark is the aged ruler of Cornwall, to whom Isolde is brought as a bride by Tristan. His name is presumably of Celtic origin, perhaps derived from the element March horse. Let's see. It says more. This is not a particularly common name in the Middle Ages, but it was in more frequent use by the end of the 16th century. And Savory, English and French, from a Germanic personal name composed of the elements of Saba, whatever that is, of uncertain meaning, plus Rick, I don't know, it has a funny line over it, meaning power, which was introduced into England by the Normans in the form of Savaric. Isn't that interesting?
I was looking for a meaning for my last name like a couple weeks ago. Mother's maiden name and my current last name doesn't... I can't find any definition for them. And I checked like 5-6 sites. Kelly, what did you turn up?
Oh. There isn't actually, like... At first I tried looking up Sela Squid, but that was just bringing up, like, people who have reblogged me on Tumblr, and it's like, oh no, that's just going to be like 7,000 pages.
Yeah.
I think on the first page of results for, like, my real name, the only thing that isn't me, like, isn't my own site, is I did a thing for the New York Times. They have their, like, room for debate page. And they did one on, like, are modern men manly enough? And so they were like, hey, you're a figure on internet masculinity. Do you want to write up a thing for this? And I was like, oh, this is such a landmine because I know it could get real Tumblr real fast. I don't know. So they said, like, just write a little thing about, you know, what you think and kind of, like, where your comic comes from. And first they told me to write 700 words, but... I wrote 700 words and they were like, that's it. It's like, well, that's like 4 tweets. Like, that's what you asked for. I think it didn't get as much discussion as, because they asked like, what, maybe like 8 or 9 people here. Some of them were being like really argumentative and like, oh, all you girly sissies and stuff. And I tried to be very, I guess I can put the link to it here if you want. But
link to us. We'll put it in the show notes.
I tried to be like, hey, you know, just because a guy's a big hulking dude doesn't mean he's like a, you know, like an action star kind of like emotionless Kratos. And just because, you know, somebody's not that doesn't mean that they're less of a man. And most people seem to respond to it fairly well. I think somebody was saying, you know, like, oh, this person, they're like, oh, all women always have such a narrow view of men. And it's like, what? Did you read what I wrote? Okay. And then the next page is all, let's see. Oh, there was an interview I did for a women's site. It was actually really cool because there's a website called like GuySpeak, I guess, that's, it's kind of a Cosmo sort of thing. It's like they've got their panel of dudes that it's supposed to be like women writing with questions, and each of the guys has kind of like their thing. It's like, oh, it's the funny guy or it's the hot guy or whatever. And then there's like the one who's just supposed to be like the wild card kind of mystery guy. And you'd be like, hey, funny guy, like, why isn't my boyfriend talking to me? And he'll, like, write a response for you or something. Or, like, you know, hey, macho guy, like, what do you think about internet dating? But this one guy, I guess he always does, interviews with people he finds interesting. And so he's like, oh, hey, you're a woman, you're successful at what you do. Like, would you like to be in this interview? And I was like, sure. And he sent me some of his other writing samples, and I was reading them, and it was like, wow, you're like some, you know, veteran, like, military guy, like, cabinet maker living out in the woods or something. I was like, I feel like I should be interviewing you. Yeah, so that was... He's got some other cool interviews on there, though. Like, I think there was one where he interviews, like a professional dominatrix or something, and...
Wow.
I forget what some of the others were. I just remember reading them, and it was like, he really gets, like, a neat kind of spread of people.
Cool.
The vast majority of images for me all have to do with the webcomic Beacon or comics I've done or reviews of DVDs I've done. There is one interesting thing here. If I just open this. Let's see. So there is an image here. There's an image here. It's an illustration, like in a textbook. But it's not one that I did. Did we lose somebody?
No, sorry, just keep going.
Let's see. This is an image of cervical effacement and dilation during labor. So it's basically a baby being born. And then it says... these photographs taken by Mark Saver using a 28mm Costo Jobes Winnipeg f-stop 2.5. Their paper was published, Map of Washington, D.C. Colleges, 1995. Somehow that's tied to this image of this baby being born. I see. So
were you lurking around maternity wards?
That comes up. That's what comes up. And then if you go to their site, it mentions some pictures of the Northern Lights that I did in Northern Maine. Which for some reason they're on this, they're one above the other, but it's very odd. And I don't see why this, what the hell this has to do with Costco Jobs Winnipeg, some kind of spammy spam link. So don't click on that if you go there. You know how they, images have these ads that will pop up if you scroll over something?
Right, right.
Like text. That's what that is, and it's a spammy thing.
Mm.
Some hacker spammy thing you don't want.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's probably the same thing.
I plugged in my real name. If you know my real name, and you just plug it into Google, there is one page that's on there, which you could, if you figure it out, you could probably make a connection. But you kind of have to be pretty savvy to really make that connection. Otherwise, as I usually state in the past, there's nothing on here that directly links my real name to my artist name, of which I've used ever since I've started going online. I started off the internet with Fessworks. I'm getting a lot of like, websites that take advantage of public records sort of thing. Is like, hey, this person lives here. This is their phone number, blah, blah, blah. I did find one that has my name, not with the middle name, but just first and last name. That is a sex offender, and the picture definitely does not look like me, so that's not me. And they're 57 years old. So,
I actually had, I haven't been to DeviantArt for, the longest time, but I went back for one reason or another, and so, there's, a big pile of messages built up in that, and, it's, kind of clicking back through the stuff on the front page, and there was this one from, some person, I have no idea who they were, but they posted, my Toronto address, my real street address and phone number in, from when I was living in Toronto, and they said, hey, is this your address? Just check in. Is it okay to call you? And it was like, what the hell? That is ridiculously inappropriate, I guess, because, some domain hosts or whatever, they don't protect your information. So if somebody Googles, if they're like, hey, Autumn Lake, then it finds, all the information that you have, on file with them. It's the place that's hosting manlyguys.com protects it, but the place that's hosting the punchline is Machismo doesn't. And since I pay online in that anyway, I never changed the address on it. But if you look it up, then you get all my Toronto contact information. And it was like, wow, that's really creepy.
There's laws about, you can't lie about the domain name of who owns it and the address. But since I've become a limited liability company, I have my artist name. It's okay. My artist name is Fessworks, which is technically doing business as Fessworks LLC, which is technically doing business as my real name doing business as Fessworks LLC. So I don't know. It's complicated. But since I got that, I was able to change my domain name information to the business stuff, which it still has an address on there. I mean, if you're really savvy, maybe you can email something to me. I don't think you can use a P.O. box, and if you can use a P.O. box, I'll change it to my P.O. box. But let's see here. Who else should we Google?
Let's see. If I look up the name of my comic, I get all kinds of stuff. Let's see.
Well,
if you don't count images.
Let's take a quick break, though. Let's take a quick break, and let's come back and talk more about this. Thank you. The Geek Life Podcast is, get this, a discussion of all things geek. Technology, movies, television, books, comics, games, nothing is off limits. Join Mike, Paul, Richard, and Melissa at The Geek Life Podcast at thegeeklife.tv.
I used to get higher results than this.
Well, you used to update more than that.
That's true. Now there's a couple of people ahead of me. If I go to images, it's all, well, literally autumn lakes, you know, water.
I remember, like, I think it was, like, the time I finally gave up, like, Googling my own name was,
I'm on page 8 of images. I have to get down to page 8 before there's me. Sorry, go ahead.
I would just, you know, it brought up like some 4chan archive thing where people were, you know, like someone was saying like, oh, well, what do you think about Sela Squid? And somebody else was like, oh, she's an okay artist. It's too bad she's such a bitch. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, aww. What? I don't know what I did to you. But,
well, it's 4chan. I mean, what else does it have to
that
be?
That was... I think that was where my you know, any semblance of, like, internet popularity I have kind of started out, because I used to, like, hang around there, and it wasn't that I did requests for, like, you know, I wouldn't directly do requests, but I'd kind of float around, and if, you know, if there was a thread with somebody, would be like, we really need a drawing of, like, Gaston and Scrooge McDuck playing poker or something. It's like I would just silently draw it and drop it in thread and stuff like that, and got some notoriety there.
Let's see here. We have... let's Google Yamino and see what's going on. I know her name is Elena Barbovich, which is no secret. Oops, that's my phone. She does the webcomic Sister Claire. She does a lot. She has done some pony stuff in the past. She has done some Adventure Time shipping of a few characters as well. In fact, I'm going to try to get Yamino and also the girl that does Chloe, who does Go Get a Roomie. I want to have them both on a show, which should be awesome in and of itself, but also to talk about shipping characters, because I found that Chloe has done I don't know, a Kim Possible shipping comic, which is really kind of cool. I've never seen Kim Possible, but I've heard stories about one of the female antagonists. It's sort of
Shigo.
Yeah, Shigo.
Yeah,
is sort of in the cartoon itself. It seems like there might be something there actually, but of course you can't really do that on a children's show, can you? Basically, she's one of those people where. Looks like I'm getting mostly just her stuff. Metacritic.
If you do a lot of stuff on Tumblr, it's hard to find, like, anything other than, you know, the stuff that you've done.
Right. I'm not finding a lot of Tumblr posts. I'm just finding, like, a lot of, like, profile pages, her comic, a webcomic review, her Metacritic profile. I don't know. I know she's maybe not intentionally poked a beehive before, but I would say that she has been attacked by bees, and I don't really see a whole lot of that going up here. Oh yeah, a few interviews coming.
Well, I think like I don't know if you're on the internet and you have opinions, at some point you know people are going to disagree with them and get angry at you.
Right,
like,
right. I just expected to find something a little bit earlier than page one or two.
I think. Once upon a time, I said that it really bothered me that, like, when you look at things like the Hellfire Club and stuff, that, you know, you've got, like, all the guys standing around in, like, tuxedos, and then Emma Frost in, like, a corset and panties, and, you're supposed to be taking her seriously, and I'm like, you know, it's just, like, there's this total imbalance of power there, and I had people telling me I was, like, slut-shaming, and, you know, it's like, how dare I say that this is, like, you know, like, women can wear whatever they want, and, you know, like, it just went on for, like, days of people accusing me, and it's like, come on, like, seriously?
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Eventually you just have to be like, okay, I don't think we're going to see eye to eye on this.
That's why I stopped posting on Something Awful. Yeah, I basically what I need to do for the new website is go through all of the current posts, tweak the titles, URLs, and posts, and add tags, adjust the category, and add SEO to it. I came across, and I do remember this, the Fess is a Whiny Baby episode, where I basically just went off on a tear about whatever the hell I was talking about with people on Something Awful. It basically just came down to, you know what, your philosophies for being an artist are entirely different from mine, is basically what it was. And just like, I am under, you know, and the Webcomic Beacon started at basically... You want to do shit? You want to color? You want to draw? You want to make a comic? Go for it. It may suck, but fucking go for it, you know? Mm-mm. Just, you know, screw the haters, you know? You also have to be open to the criticism that you're going to get, too. And you're going to have to either plow through it or accept and make changes. If, you know, it's there's so much bullshit. But if you just want to make art and just have fun, fuck those guys, you know? It's some of them are like, well, if you're not taking it seriously, you shouldn't do it at all. It's like, fuck you. Do what you want.
I've seen a lot of like really like kind of worthwhile discussion and stuff going on Something. I mean, like I only ever go there when I see my name getting like pinged a lot or something. You know, like my the Project Wonderful shows you like where you're getting like a lot of traffic from. So every so often I see it there. It's kind of like apprehensively like, okay, is this good or bad? And I'll go there and it'll be like, you know, there'll be discussion about like, you know, one of the tutorials I did or something like that. And it's like, it's usually like, I mean, I've been lucky with it, but it's usually stuff that I'm like, oh, this is like some worthwhile conversation. Cause there are like a lot of threads there where mm-hmm. people are like making some pretty fair, even, I mean, there's going to be jerks everywhere, but, I don't know. I haven't joined Something Awful, but I've been impressed with like a lot of the discussion I've seen just in terms of like technical stuff and people helping each other out with critiques and that. And you know, it's like, there's good stuff going on there too.
who else of the Webcast Beacon Network crew should we Google? Who should we Google?
Oh, I love my IMDb page because it's crediting me for like. So I almost wonder if it's like somebody else's IMDb page that I got tacked onto.
You're on.
Because I mean, most of the shows I've worked on. They just say like animation, cup of coffee or something. So like the individual animators don't get credited. So, you know, I don't end up on those, but, for good vibes, I guess they credited animators like by name. So it's like, I have this page that's saying, you know, like animation department, Kelly Turnbull, but it's also got me as an actor on some short called Sewn Together and a makeup artist on the same short. And it's like, I wasn't either of those things. So it's like the communal Kelly Turnbull IMDb page that all Kelly Turnbulls in show business like. I wonder if she's as confused as I am.
Maybe Melissa Kircher, who's on the Webcast Beacon Network first issue, of which we'll be recording later today, another episode. I think we're going to be recording the Toxic Avenger #1 review.
Nice.
And possibly the last Starfighter #1 as well. we hope to do some comics for this November. Marcus happened to find by Blue Water Comics, Political Power, Mitt Romney, #1. And from 2009, I found, like a year ago, I had found this comic that was made in 2009, Barack the Barbarian. And I can tell you that Barack the Barbarian looks a lot more interesting with has a variant cover with Sarah Palin in fur bikini and holding a dagger. It's like, holy shit.
I'm just picturing like Sarah Palin as like a Medusa creature or something.
Something. Jeez. So, no. I brought that up because Melissa has an IMD page. She was in Trekkies 2. She had an interview in Trekkies 2. So I'm going to look up Melissa Kircher. Let's Google her name and see what we find. All right, so we get her Twitter account is first, then her website is second, Flickr account is third, Geek Life podcast is fourth. So a lot of what she's doing now and constantly doing, there's some Google images for her. I have not seen that picture when she was at Renfest. All right. Comic Vine. She was on the Geek. I think she was on the Geeks Without God podcast, which is one of her friends' new. It's an atheist podcast. Go figure. She's also on Skeptics. I forgot about that. She has contributed a few times over there. A couple. She has her hands on a lot of things. Womenincomics.wikia.com. Google Plus.
I think I might have a page on there too, and there's like, you know, some stuff like it's saying, you know, like she used to work on the show Big Soul. It's like Big Soul was a company, but
it's like there's no like good dirt anywhere popping up.
I don't think you'd find any good dirt on me.
She's on John Kovalik's Wikipedia boring. Page. Anyone who knows John Kovalik? He does Dork Tower.
Oh, I recognize
that. He also does the art for the Munchkin game. He invented and did the art for Apples to Apples, which he sold for like a couple $1 million to whoever bought it now. Melissa has worked with John Kovalik on a comic called Dr. Blink, Superhero Shrink, of which they are hoping to return, but they also want to try to get it optioned as a cartoon series, I think. So... Okay, you know how you can lose yourself in Wikipedia? You could probably lose yourself following any of Melissa Kircher's Google results, because they all take you to different sites to talk about what she's doing with it.
So. She's met everyone and done everything.
I think she said she's only 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon. And that was because she was in the movie Trekkies 2. So for those who are listening to this podcast right now, this was a backup episode idea because our guest did not show for probably some sort of conflict of time or confusion of time. But that's okay. We try to broadcast live on most Sundays at about 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can check that out at webcastbeacon.com/live, and it should take you to a link. Basically, I have a vocal channel, vokle.com channel, which we try to broadcast live as we record. Right now we got 16 listeners, and anybody in the chat room that has a question about the show, or for any one of us that is speaking on the show right now, for either of the Webcomic Beacon or the Webcast Beacon Network in general, if you got, use the vocal question system and ask a text question, and we'll go ahead and we'll, if your question is appropriate enough, I'll ask it. I get goofy questions. I get goofy questions sometimes. Like, questions about milk came up once. I was like, that's not relevant.
Oh, after the 12th page of Google results, it brought into the, do you know the character It's Fred, or like Fred Figglehorn on YouTube? Like, he's one of those kids who makes like $100,000 a year or whatever, like, from his YouTube account. Jesus. And
that must be nice.
It's like he's, he's like, pitch processes his voice, and oh no, it's talking now. It's like the whole thing is basically like he processes his voice, so it's like really high and squeaky and like runs around and like is manic and stuff. And you know, I guess he's popular enough that Nickelodeon made like 2 made for TV movies about him and stuff. But they made an animated series, just like a YouTube series, and I was one of the animators on it, so that came up. It was a pretty breakneck schedule. I think it was like, they were kind of like 5-minute shorts, and it was like 1 week to storyboard it and then 2 weeks to animate it. And,
let's see. do we have any questions? Did anybody ask any questions? Doesn't look like anybody asked any questions. We have a couple of people that actually have chatted in the chat room, and that would be somebody named Printed Velvet and Olympic Dames, of which I tried to find what your actual name was so I could Google that just for fun, but it's not on your site. Well, not easily. The creators, maybe it is. Let's see here. Oh, yes. I was at the Dallas Webcomics Expo a couple of weeks ago in Texas, in Dallas. Well, technically Plano. Let's see here. Strip, as it's called, at stripcon.org, I believe. I went around and I sold like one book.
Yeah. Was it just one day or 2 days or what was it?
It's just, you know, one afternoon. I'm going to try to put together, see, I ended up recording, the podcasting episode, not the, podcasting panel that I was mostly emceeing on. I wasn't really fronting it. Kind of crashed it too, but,
that's a long way to go. You had to drive all that way, right?
Right, right. And it was also, I was going to connect with some people too and just, you know, go on a trip. Was the thing. I'll be going to Intervention Con, which is also going to be another trip, like, next month. So this year I've been doing so much traveling.
Are you tabling at Intervention?
I should be. I really, really, really should be. As far as I understand, I am. I went around at Strip. I went around and I tried to get some quick interviews from people. However, my recording device was not picking it up loud enough. Mm. So I don't think I'll be able to use that. I might have it in case just for some people to listen to, but I don't think I might just go and recap what I did and just basically make an article about my experience there instead of the I might re-record myself just sort of recapping, like I'll type it up and then I'll record an audio bit for it as well, I think. But you know, other than that, it's not a big deal. I'm going to get one of them on the show again. A guy named Simax was there, and I forget his last name. Simax Amen, I believe was his name. And he does this comic, he does this blog and this comic collective site called Ghetto Manga. I think it's at ghettomanga.com. And basically, he tries to get put together sort of like hip-hop comics together for like anthologies. Because he prints out something that's called Ghetto Manga Quarterly. Hmm. And we ended up getting into a discussion about blaxploitation. And a long time ago, I had gotten a request from somebody that does this comic called World of Hurt, which is a blaxploitation comic, suggesting that we do a blaxploitation topical episode. This is back when I was trying to avoid just doing like one-person showcases. And of course, I've been doing that a lot lately. And I was really strict about the topics. If we had a topic, there had to be more than one person on about that topic, et cetera, et cetera. And it always had to be strictly about webcomics. We couldn't just talk about blaxploitation. It had to be blaxploitation webcomics. And so now that stick of my butt is loosened and fallen out a little bit. So I'm going to try. I think September 9th will be. I'll have three people on the show, including the Jay from World of Hurt, Simex from Ghetto Manga, and this other guy. I think his name is David. I'll double check. But from this blog, which is about blaxploitation, so basically we'll talk about it all in general, not specifically webcomics, but of the topic, because you know it's. It's interesting. I was kind of worried about doing it at first. Blaxploitation, that sounds like a bad thing.
Yeah. Pam Grier? Come on.
No, I hear exploitation. I hear exploitation, and exploitation is bad. But also, like a year later after receiving the email, I had actually seen some real blaxploitation, and it was pretty damn awesome, actually. And then I just kind of forgot.
Black Dynamite, that is, mastery of modern cinema.
I saw that. I think I saw some Dolomite first, and then I saw Black Dynamite, and then I saw some other blaxploitation. Do you know they're making a cartoon? A Black Dynamite cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was. I don't even want to get into the industry stuff behind it. But they're making it in house. My studio was involved with like some of the groundwork behind it. Like
of course,
Six Harness. They did the animation in the the movie. There's kind of the scenes. Like there's the sex scene where there's all the Zodiac things, and there's like the credits where he's walking, and they have all the animated stuff going on. And the studio, like I didn't work on it because that was before my time there, but. the studio I'm at now did a lot of the early animation stuff for Black Dynamite, and yeah, Titmouse, the place that does Metalocalypse, is making the animated series.
One of my favorite offshoots of blaxploitation is when they add kung fu. So you got black guys doing kung fu.
That's all of them. That's like Black Belt Jones.
Yeah, and what Jim Brown has done a couple of those too.
There's also. Are you talking about like something like Afro Samurai?
Well, yeah, but usually the ones I'm thinking about, you have it's your typical 70s blaxploitation situation where there's bad guys and they've killed the hero's brother or something like that, and he decides to take revenge, but he runs like a kung fu school. So it's not like a Japanese crossover. It's just they all know karate or kung fu, and they use that to fight the bad guys. Which is fun.
Yeah, somebody made a comment in the chat room saying, wasn't Kung Fu kept alive through black fans, essentially, through the 70s? I have no idea whether or not that's true, but I know that certainly a lot of blaxploitation stuff, there's usually a lot of, you know, Kung Fu-esque action in it. Let's see here. We have a couple of questions. Kelly, what advice would you give to somebody wanting to go to school for animation?
Sleep and eat food. Those are the two big things. Like, if I could go back in time and, you know, like, just give myself any piece of advice, it would be like, just sleep and eat food. It's worth it. It doesn't seem like it at the time, but it is. But I guess, like, just in terms of, like, seeking out a school, at least in my experience, you learn more from your peers than you do from your teachers, really. So it's worth it to kind of like seek out a place where, you know, like, I mean, the Sheridan, I was really let down by, cause like Sheridan is the school I went to. It's in like just outside Toronto, I guess. And it's kind of like Canada's CalArts. Like it's the big school that, you know, kind of like just educates people for the sake of like pumping them into the industry. Like you can get a bachelor of animation, at at Emily Carr out in Vancouver, but that's more like kind of the sand on glass, like Norman McLaren kind of stuff. But yeah, Sheridan, you know, it was more, you know, it's kind of like the first year is, it's a lot of like theory stuff, kind of like bouncing balls and swishing tails and page flips and folding boxes and, you know, like lip syncs and like just technical skills. And then second year is more like acting stuff, kind of like characters doing little, you know, like there's more in-depth lip syncs. Like, you know, you'll have characters like speaking along with a phrase and acting with it, or you'll have like, you know, runs and walks with like personality and stuff in them. Then third year, you're making a group film. Fourth year, you're making an individual film. And in theory, like, you know, it's like, oh, these are going to be great classes. But kind of from second year on, I was really disappointed with just kind of like the way they were teaching it. And it's just part of it was just like the program was kind of all over the place, because it used to be a 3-year program. They converted it to a 4-year program. But like the person who's the dean really didn't know how animation worked. And like she was, I think, more of a film person. And I think like a lot of the problems were with like the stop motion guys kind of getting shafted for it. Cause, the way they grade you when you're, just an undergrad, I forget what all the grad levels mean, but yeah, I just have a bachelor in animation. It's undergrad, just a BA. Yeah. But yeah, like, you'd get like, they'd say like, okay, so by the second week you have to have all your backgrounds done. By the third week you have to have like all your, I don't know, like stuff colored or something, you know, they just have milestones that you had to hit. And, since they didn't want to spring the extra money to have the actual stop motion guy in the school design the stop motion curriculum, they ended up having, you know, like the stop motion class was like, okay, so by the second week you have to have all your models made. And by the third week you have to have all your backgrounds, like all your environments made. And it was like, stop motion doesn't work like that. You spend like the first 6 weeks making all this stuff and then the last like 2 weeks animating it. And, there were some people I know who definitely got like real like grade dings kind of just from like having to deal with that. So I guess the point I'm driving at is, you know, don't expect the faculty to help you. Like pick schools based on like what you've seen student work wise coming out of there, because you don't want to be the best person in a class. Like if you're just surrounded by people who are like less dedicated to it than you, like I know some people who went to other animation schools around the city that weren't as like, I guess, strict about portfolio reviews and stuff. Like the, you know, you didn't need to have like the same level of technical skill to get into them that you did at Sheridan. And they got really frustrated with it, cause like the, you know, like the people I knew going there were like super talented people, but, they were surrounded by people who were like, oh, animation is a fun degree, and they just kind of like smoke a lot of pot and not get a lot done. And it's just so demotivating for, you know, like when you're surrounded by people who are like really talented and really driven in that, it's sort of like you just get inspired by them and you want to like work harder and do better and, you know, like be someone they'd be proud to stand beside and that, but that won't happen if you're kind of like the one driven person and kind of like a sea of people just there to goof around. Mm.
You won't learn anything either.
Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway, webcomics, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to answer one more question, and I think we'll wrap things up.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, and we're back. We got, I think, one more question we're at least going to ask, and that is, what was the oddest refer/source of traffic influx for your work or website? Mark doesn't have Google Analytics because Mark.
Because I changed the site, so the links aren't there yet. I have to put them back.
Oh, okay.
Because this doesn't really tell me.
I can't say that I've had any, like, ooh, what happened here? I mean, I can always backtrack it to, like, a guest we've had on or a Project Wonderful ad I took out. I suppose we could look at keywords and try to figure out how weird that might be, but I'm not entirely sure how to look up keywords on here yet. What about you, Kelly? Anything weird and crazy?
Well, my stats page, I think, has been kind of down since we switched servers. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen, I've never gotten traffic from something that it was like, wow, that's unexpected. But I think the one that people would consider most off the beaten path was like, I'm not even sure how to phrase, like, you know, it was like a gay men's interest board, but it was kind of like the bear sort of fetish thing. And, you know, there, it was just like a bunch of people talking about, like, you know, like how hot Commander was and what illicit things they would want to do to him. And it was like, well, I can't say that's unexpected.
Well, let me see. I don't have that, but maybe I could look at this and see the phrases that bring people to my website.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how that is. Where to find that? I can't.
I'm looking in my server stats.
Oh.
So let's see. Things that bring people to me. There's some stuff from Fur Affinity because I'm doing the Furries of Doom. it looks like there's some sex video thing.
When you tweet about your comic updates, add the tag furry to it. Just
I do.
Okay,
I've been doing that for years. Let's see, Boy Scout World War II is one key phrase that brings people to Autumn Lake because I did I made one post about a Rockwell painting that he did,
the Boy Scout or something like that. So that brings people to my site. Maybe they're perverts looking for something. I don't know. But yeah, that's one thing that brings people to Autumn. Like, what about, let's see, the previous month might have some more. Boy Scout clip art, Boy Scout artwork, Rockwell. For some reason, nobody else writes about this. Grouchbot got 2 hits. What is a recycled tweet? Why in the hell this is bringing people to Autumn Lake? I don't know. The Conquest of Space, DeForest Kelly. The Conquest of Space is a George Pal movie.
Did you make a comment?
Time Machine fame. And, of course, DeForest Kelly's Dr. McCoy.
Right, so right.
Why that completed phrase is there?
Did you make a comment on some website somewhere that, like you know, like how you write a comment and then it asks for your email, your name, your email, and your website. And if you put your website in, it makes your avatar or your name link back to your site, maybe? Because that...
Weird.
That can be...
Bill Countryman, Peony, Northfield, Vermont. Probably a news article I posted to because it was in New England. Again, I haven't done that in a long time, but maybe he was Googling himself and and found him there. I know there are weirder ones. Let's see, the month before. Let's see, more Boy Scout clip art and stuff like that, which is kind of weird, but. This is one I do get, the Wherever Cookie Gun and Pastry Decorator, because I did the article on how to do Spritz cookies using the official Wherever Trigger Quick Cookie Gun, Cookie Press.
Okay.
And then maybe if I go back just one more month, I'll go back one more month and see what other weird phrases there are. Apparently, I should do more about Boy Scouts. I don't know. I get traffic. Mr. T, call your mama. And there's a phrase that I've had the characters use, yipes, stripes, which is, this is one called Yipes, Stripes, Comics, is the phrase. But Yipes Stripes is this god-awful musical number in Teenage Strangler, which you may have seen on Mystery Science Theater. It's a horrible, bad movie made in not New England. But I like the term Yipes Stripes. It just seems like something people would shout. So I get, I guess, some traffic from that. I don't know. Boy Scout clip art. World War II paintings, Boy Scout salute clip arts. I don't know. So it's just one friggin' post, and this is all I get.
I don't get any for the Webcast Beacon Network before, you know, not counting like the super low one. I mean, the for 4 visits, Toons Porno is one. And other than that, it's people that have been on the show. Or the Webcast Beacon Network. It's I don't get anything crazy. Sorry.
Huh. Seems like all I get. Well, there you are, then. Now you know. That seems to be what drives my traffic. Boy Scout clip art, and that's about it.
Jesus.
Man, you have really nice watercolors on your site. I think I might have told you, like, once on Twitter, like, you know, when I was like, oh, no, I will just drop this here and leave it, but... I you know, you do really awesome watercolors and stuff, like all the landscapes.
Oh, I heart you.
Let's see here. Well, so as this show has been an example of, you know, Googling your name can give you some interesting results or some alarming results, as in, oh, that's public? Sort of information. Depending on how you market yourself as an artist, it might also be something of interest to take a look at if anybody's talking about you. And if people are really just like bad-mouthing you, honestly, don't bring it to attention to anybody else. All you do is make it bigger, to be
honest.
Well,
there are a lot of times where, you know, like people will be like kind of trying to pick a fight with me, and it's, you know, it's like, well, I know if I, you know, even if I was like, hey, my Tumblr fans, like, look at this person, what a dick, go defend me. It's like, they're just getting tons of traffic from that. Like, don't even give them the satisfaction.
Right. Don't fall prey. Don't fall prey to it, basically. There's not a whole lot to, more to talk about on this episode other than say, hey, you know what, for the new website, the Webcomic Beacon, the Webcast Beacon Network Z, as it's so-called being called, I'm going to be interested in finding maybe people that would write articles or do e-book reviews or e-comic book reviews, comic reviews, do tutorial searching. I want to try to put together like aggregate posts of, hey, you want to know how to draw pumpkins, and you can find a whole bunch of like here's a post about all the different links you can find to drawing gourds and squash or clothing, drawing clothing that drapes. You know, I don't know. I think it might be a good. I want to try to make it a sort of like an informational resource site. But that's just, you know, otherwise, if people are willing to let me repost the tutorials, for one thing. Otherwise, articles or editorials might be another thing. I want to try to create content and drive people around. I'm trying to put together a sort of design that helps benefit everybody. You know, it's something I'm going to be putting a lot of money into. I'm going to make sure that it's, because, I don't know, it seems like every year I was saying, okay, I'll try one more year of trying to make it better than what it is, otherwise, because it takes up so much of my time, for one.
Yeah.
And you should at least make a little money off of it, if not billions.
Well, billions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't think billions is possible. Man, if I made thousands a year off of this, damn, I could really, you know, everyone would get something of that, totally.
I hope you have great success then.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Right now, with the Webcomic Z, income actually is actually where I'm actually making most of the income, but that's all being saved to pay for the building of the next site, and then we'll see what's left over of that. So I think it pulls in a decent, if I like go across my Project Wonderful stats, and the Project Wonderful income, Google ads income, and the Webcomic Z $5 banner thing income, that is going to be probably a pretty decent amount after I don't have to pay for to build a new site. But I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched. It could go downhill and get destroyed. But you can email questions at webcastbeacon@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions, or would like to be a dedicated article writer. I am looking first and foremost as a labor of love, as in that's what it is, because it's also a labor of my wallet. Right now, I would love to offer payment for article writing. I cannot right now. That's just how it is, and I want people, you know, like people know what the Webcomic Beacon has been about since 2007. Really, you know, we try not to be the assholes of the internet, but basically say that.
Oh, I've been doing it wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're such an asshole, Mark. It's like
the least assholeish person.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you shouldn't or can't do something because it's not. You're not being serious enough about your artwork, or art is strictly objective. It's like, no, fuck you. Art is 100% subjective. Though there are technical methods that are objective at which you can produce a particular type of art if you want. But if you don't want to do that, hey, fuck those assholes and do what you want. It may be totally sucky and nobody will like it, but hey, do what you want.
I feel like, you know, as if you're putting something out there and you're, like, consistently feeding it, like, eventually, you know, you will find an audience. You know, you're not going to be the next Penny Arcade necessarily, but, like, you'll find your little, like, devoted following of like-minded people.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a few people that really like PSI, the comic that's been on constant hiatus for a while, and it's like, you know what, that's...
Still? I thought you were updating again. The guy who tells me to keep updating.
Hey, I've been updating every fucking thing else. No. It's like, and it's like, yeah, you may have a following. There may be an audience for it. It may be small, but there is one, you know. It's like, it has to be really, really bad for people, like, not one person to like it, even ironically.
I've done a few, panels, or, conventions and stuff, where I'll do, panels on character design and just sort of, how it relates to story writing and that. And, you know, when you're working on these things, generally you can make either the most kind of, lowest common denominator, relatable, sort of, everybody will kind of, find them agreeable, or you can go really niche and, you know, it sort of works with, comics and stuff. Sorry, this is so roundabout, but it's, you know, you get the comics XKCD or, what's that one with the little, that other Stickman one? The one that you don't like, where they just do,
the same childish juvenile bullshit that little kids come up with and somehow they make tons of money. Yeah, those people.
You know, it's kind of it's very accessible in that, you know, they're like potato chip comics kind of.
Yep.
And then, you know, the ones that are more story driven and stuff will always have a smaller audience, but it's you're reaching the audience you want to have. I see a lot of people who say, you know, they're kind of oh, why aren't I as popular as this person? You know, I put so much more work in, but it's well, do you want the popularity that they have? You know, all the fans they have are the people who want to read that kind of thing. Do you want those fans?
If they brought me money. Okay.
Well, I think we should probably close this up. I got to start recording the newscast here. I think soon. I got to double check with them to see if they need me. Other than that, let's see here. Let me check out the calendar and see what we got coming up. I'm going to try to reschedule the Christopher Baldwin of Space Trawler show for at some point. Next week, the 26th, it doesn't look like I have anything scheduled, but there should be something here no matter what. I will try to anyway. September 2nd, Melissa's going to DragaCon for that weekend. I'll be at a convention called Metacon.
When's this?
This is on the 2nd. So the 2nd of September, there will be no Webcomic Beacon.
I'm sorry. Next week, what would you have next week?
Next week, the 26th.
Sorry, I missed that.
Next week, the 26th, I do not have anything scheduled, but I will try as hard.
Get a hold of the guy who's supposed to be here today.
Yeah, I will try. I'll try to get something there. On the 9th of September, that'll be the Blaxploitation episode, and then after that, I don't have anything scheduled. So, again, Mark, Kelly, if you guys got any ideas or people you want to have on, you can contact them yourself, or you can let me know. We can, you know, CC me so we can put together some sort of coordination to schedule some time. Otherwise,
you know, I did go to the Kids Read Comics a few weeks ago, and there were several people there who either listened to us or might be interesting to have on. So maybe we can. I'll try to get you the info I have.
Okay. And if there's anybody listening to the show and there's a topic you would like to listen to again for us to reapproach and do again, or something that we haven't done yet, send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com and we'll work on putting together something that the people want. So, but that's about it for... that is it for this week's edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I have been Fess of archercomic.com.
Kelly Turnbull of the punchline is muchismo.com, or I guess manlyguys.com. That's easier. I'll say that.
And I have been and still am Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.